My name is Tom Limbler. I'm a staff member here at Deer Run as well as the Director of Impact Prayer Ministry. And I think about that song we just sang, Mary, Did You Know? It's an incredible question. But I wonder what would happen if instead of Mary, we put our name in there. Not only did you know, but do you know? We know from Scripture that Mary was visited by an angel and it was announced to her who this child would be. And the Bible talks about her treasuring up all of these things in her heart. And still we ask that question, Mary, did you really know? How much of that did you really grasp? And I think it's a fair question because we can look at Scripture today. We can have an even fuller knowledge than what Mary did. And we still have questions at times. And so as we continue through this Christmas season, last week CJ introduced this Holiday Treasures series. And it really came about as we were talking about the things that people tend to treasure during the holiday season. And the conversation began back before Thanksgiving, and so we used this generic holiday term instead of Christmas because we were thinking about all of the things that people treasure. And we came up with this list, and then we had to narrow it down to four different things to fit this December series. And I ask, as you listen to last week's message, whether you were here in person or watching and listening online, what did you do about it? A message about the gift of good news. Did you share that good news with someone? Did it change your life in some way this past week, knowing that Jesus is the ultimate good news? You see, that's really why any of us get up here and preach on any given Sunday. It's to encourage and challenge all of us, including ourselves, to action. To do something about what we've heard, of what God's Spirit has spoken to us. And so as we think about the treasures of the holiday season, we talked about good news. Today I want to look at the treasure, the gift of life. And all of these treasures that we're going to talk about are not only things that we receive, but they are things that God expects us to give. And as we think about the gift of life, I want us to consider that my favorite verse in the Bible, and I talk a lot about one of my favorite verses. Well, this is the one. Okay, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. The original, when I first memorized this verse, it was life abundantly. And so many times we think about all of the good stuff of life. But life is full of this mixture of things that we like and things that we don't like, things that we enjoy and things that are a burden. And Jesus didn't say, I just come to give you life full of the good things. That's what we want to hear. That's what we typically read in that verse. But he says, I came to give you life to the full. And this morning as we look at that, and as typical of my sermons, we're going to use a word for the outline, and the word today is life. I think there's four things here as we think about the gift of life that we've received and the gift of life that God would want us to give to others. And I love the Christmas story out of the Gospel of John. It's one we don't use often because it's not as detailed as what Matthew has given or what Luke has given. But my actual two favorite Christmas accounts in the Bible are generally not used as Christmas accounts. And that's this first opening part of John, where it talks about Jesus coming into the world. That's the story of Christmas. And then over in the book of Philippians, where it talks about Jesus letting go of his grasp on the things of heaven to come to earth. That's Christmas. And so we don't often think about those in the Christmas season, but they really both do a great job of talking about Jesus coming to earth for a greater purpose. And this morning I want to begin by reading these first 14 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Some translations will say the darkness has not overtaken it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Now he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decisions or a husband's will, but children born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Would you pause and pray with me? Father, thank you that in the fullness of time, at just the right time, you sent Jesus. And as we celebrate that birth at this time of year, we recognize as your children that there's a greater story than just a baby being born. And yet it's because of this baby being born that we can hear the words of the song, Mary, Did You Know? And we can exclaim, yes, we know. Because Jesus has revealed himself as a man, as a person walking this earth. He has revealed himself through Scripture. He continues to reveal himself through his Word and through his Spirit. And so, Father, as we listen to you today, may we have a greater value for the life that has been given. And may we have a greater commitment to sharing that life with others. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So we look at this gift of life. There's the said four things that I think that we ought to recognize that we've received and that we ought to give. And the first aspect of this gift of life is a gift of light. We looked at that, John, the passage you read, verses 4 through 9. Jesus, John writes and he says, in him was life, but that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He talked about John coming and testifying to this light. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus talks to his disciples, to those who have gathered around him, and he says, you are the light of the world. And I believe in that same manner that John came to testify to the light, God has called each one of us to testify to that light, to walk in the example of John, and to share the good news, the gift of light I don't know about you, but sometimes darkness can be a very frightening place. And sometimes it's because we have an idea of what's in the darkness, but we're not sure where it's at. Other times it's because we have no idea what's in the darkness. And we become fearful. And Jesus says, I have come to overcome that darkness, to shine a light in the midst of the darkness. We live in a time where the world is filled with darkness. A lot of unknown, a lot of things that we can't see, a lot of things that weigh heavy on our hearts and our minds. And sometimes we think, if I could just understand it a little more clearly, if I could just see a little more clearly what is going on, I would have a greater peace. I would have a greater comfort level. And yet we gaze deeply into this pandemic of COVID and we can't understand from day to day what's going on with it. We gaze deeply into the turmoil that plagues our nation. And all of the experts trying to figure it out cannot agree on what's going on or how to solve it or what the solution is. And into all of that darkness that we walk in day to day, God says, I have sent Jesus as the light of the world. A light that if you follow, you no longer have to walk in darkness. This incredible gift of Jesus to light the darkness of the world. It doesn't take a very long study of life in the time of Jesus to realize that especially the Israelites, the Jewish people, were living in a land filled with darkness. Even their religious leaders were not doing a very good job of keeping people pointed toward God. As we read through the New Testament, we find that Jesus accuses them and more than accuses them, makes it clear that many of these religious leaders were not only misleading the people, were not only seeking God themselves, but they were preventing people from finding God. And you talk about a darkness, a spiritual darkness that had overcome the land. And Jesus shows up at just the right time. And he says, I am the light of the world. I come so that you no longer have to walk in darkness. Today, as we live as Christians, as we live as those who follow Christ, there are going to be many things that we're uncertain of. We don't know. But one thing that we can be certain of, that is, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, we no longer have to walk in darkness. That God is with us. One of the names given to Jesus was Emmanuel. God with us. And that light of the world came so that God is with us. And in that story, we recognize that not only do we receive the gift of life, or of life through the gift of light, but we're called as his disciples, as his followers, to give the gift of light to the world, to shine brightly for Jesus. And I know sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in all of the verbal and social media back and forth and saying things and doing things that, well, definitely don't present the light of Jesus. Doing things and saying things that cause more confusion and more hurt than good. You see, being the light of Jesus, giving the light of Jesus says, I'm going to help you find a path in the midst of this darkness. I've had opportunities over the years to visit a number of different caves. And every cave tour that I've ever been on, at some point during the tour, they decide it's a smart idea to turn all of the lights off to prove how dark it is. And when you're however many feet underground and they turn all of the lights off and you put your hand in front of your face, you can't see it no matter how close you get. It is utter darkness. And it used to be they would ask if anybody had a match. More recent times, they ask if someone would turn their phone on. We carry phones and not matches anymore, but it's amazing how much you can see in the midst of complete darkness with just a small light. And sometimes we think we're not that much. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the experience. We're not studied well enough that we can be. Send them to the preacher. Let him be the light. Send them to the elders. Let them be the light. But I'm here to say that you, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. However bright your light is, it's enough to be seen in the midst of darkness if you let it shine. Not only do we give the gift of life and we receive the gift of light, but through the gift of life, we also receive this and give it through the gift of inclusion. The passage we read out of John 1, verses 10 through 13, it talked about those that did not recognize him. It said he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, if we stop there, this would be a very discouraging passage. Saying Jesus showed up and everybody said, who cares? We're not interested. But it doesn't stop there. See, Jesus came to present himself to the Jewish people, the people who had been chosen by God through the seed of Abraham. And they said, we're not interested. We don't really believe that you came from God, let alone believe that you are God. But verse 12 is this great verse of hope, this great verse of inclusion. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but children born of God. You see, as we give the gift of life, we give the gift of inclusion. That everybody is welcome at the foot of the cross. Everybody is welcome to gather around the manger. Everybody is welcome to Jesus and his presence. Those that refused to accept him, even they were welcomed. It was simply their choice not to receive him. But he says, this is for everyone. You're probably familiar, many of you at least, with the passage out of Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. It's Peter's response at the end of his message on the day of Pentecost. As the people are convicted, they're cut to the heart about the message and what they've done to Jesus. What can we do? What should we do? What must we do? Here's Peter's answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. An incredible promise. But it also includes that gift of inclusion in verse 39. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. You see, we live with the gift of life because of Jesus. We're included into the family of God because of Jesus. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to earn a place in his family. But he chose to include us through the blood of Jesus. And as we consider this great gift of inclusion that gives us a place in eternity with God, it's our turn to give that gift of inclusion. To recognize that God's message is for everyone. That this gift of life is not simply for those that we agree with about everything. It's not simply for those who look like us or act like us or talk like us or live like us. This gift of life is an inclusive gift that we ought to be giving to all The Bible says, to all who would receive it. And to me, that says that the hinge, so to speak, is on the receiver, not on the giver. It's up to them. There's no way that we can force someone to come to Jesus. There's no way that we can force someone to be included into the gospel message and receive the salvation that is offered. But there are a lot of ways that we can exclude people. And we have a tendency to do that at times. And the gift of life says we include everyone and leave it up to them as to their acceptance or rejection of the invitation. And even when they reject it, we still love, we still include, we still be the light that we're called to be. You see, this gift of life is a gift of light. It's a gift of inclusion, but it's also a gift of flesh. We looked at that in verse 14 specifically of John 1. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. This idea that Jesus came to earth to live like you and I. He lived in a body like we live in. He walked the face of this earth in the midst of a time of political uncertainty, in the midst of a time of persecution, in the midst of a time of great turmoil. He lived in flesh. And I believe that God gave us that gift of flesh so that we would know that He cares. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And so, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have that promise fulfilled. We have that passage out of Hebrews because Jesus came in flesh. He came to live and walk the same life that all of His peers were living and walking in that time. And so as we receive the gift of life, we receive the gift of flesh in Jesus being born as a baby and living life. But we give the gift of life as we give the gift of flesh of ourselves. That we invest in people, we spend time with people. And I know in this COVID culture, it's kind of frowned upon to do a lot of physical embracing and touching and all of that stuff. And so we have to be creative in finding ways to give of ourselves. To let people know that they're not walking this life alone. That just as Jesus came and walked with His peers, we are here to walk with one another. And that our life is given to help others experience the same gift of life that we have. We have opportunities all around us to give the gift of flesh, to give the gift of ourself. And sometimes we close our eyes to that because we don't want to be bothered with it. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It might even take money. And yet, Jesus gave up for a time, the glories of heaven, so that He could give us the gift of flesh, the gift of Himself. Our role as Christians, if we really believe that God has called us to Himself, that we are His children, if we really believe that a home in eternity with Him awaits us, then any sacrifice we make, we know is just temporary. Any part of ourself that we give to someone else, we know is just temporary. Because we have an eternal home where all things are restored, where all things are made new. And so as we consider this gift of life that came in this baby Jesus, we consider how we give the gift of flesh to other people around us. And sometimes in this culture, it's a phone call, it's a letter, it's a postcard, it's a text message, it's a socially distanced visit. It's saying we still see you and we still care. We give this gift of life, we give the gift of light, we give the gift of inclusion, we give the gift of flesh, and we give the gift and receive the gift of eternity. Jumping to the start of the passage out of John 1, Jesus came, and I love the wording here in the first few verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. A small glimpse into the eternal nature of Jesus. And as we look at this baby, it's so easy to see that baby as the starting point. Because that's our human nature. That's our human experience. Life is this baby. And yet, John writes and says, this baby existed at the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. You see, we have been given this gift of eternity because Jesus came to earth to offer us Himself, so that we could be with Him. As Jesus was trying to prepare His disciples for His eventual departure and return to heaven, they had a tough time grasping that. And He says, don't be troubled. Don't be overly concerned. In my house are many rooms or many mansions, depending on your translation you're reading this in. And if I go to prepare a place for you, you can be confident that I will return to take you to myself, to take you to that place. And it's partly because of the eternal nature of Jesus. It's partly because of realizing that He is God and existed before this birth of the baby, that we can have confidence in the future eternal nature of Jesus, that we have a place that is prepared for us. This past week, Gary Becker passed away. And I've had a chance throughout the week to talk with his widow, Sally. And while there is grief, there's great comfort in her life knowing that Gary understood the eternal nature of God. That he understood the gift of life that was his even beyond what we experience here on earth. It's that gift that Jesus talked about in John chapter 11 as He addressed Mary and Martha regarding Lazarus. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. And then Jesus asked the question, do you believe that? Gary believed that. His widow is comforted by the fact that Gary believed that. Most of us in this room have people in our life that believed that, and we have been comforted by the knowledge that this gift of life is eternal. We have been comforted by the knowledge that even a momentary departure from our presence is not a permanent departure. You see, as we consider this gift of life, this morning I have to ask, what are we doing with what we've received? I believe all four of these elements, the gift of light, the gift of inclusion, the gift of flesh, the gift of eternity, have been given to us by God. But as with practically every gift that God ever gives us, the question always remains, what will you do with it? As we approach this Christmas season, there's times that we receive gifts and we value them so much that we do everything in our power to protect them, to keep anyone else from touching them. They're ours. Don't even look at it. And yet, in this most valuable gift of all, Jesus says this gains value when you share it. This gift of life grows when you include others. And so as we ask those two questions, the question I began with, instead of Mary, fill in your name, do you know? Do you know this Jesus? Not just being born, but do you know what he did with his life for you? You see, that's where this entire message begins. It's an invitation to those that do not know to sit down with one of us here at Deer Run, to sit down with a neighbor, a brother, a sister that believes in Jesus, and to be up front and say, I don't know. Tell me about this Jesus, this gift of life. And for those of us that have gathered together, and typically on a Sunday morning when we gather, most of us have already said, yes, I know. Yes, Jesus is the central part of my life. The question remains, what will you do with that gift? Will you share it with others? It really just tags on to CJ's message last week of taking the good news to people. And a big part of that good news is this gift of life. Today, as you experience the gift of life you have in Jesus, I ask that you would pray and listen and ask God to just convict you of at least one person that he wants you to share that gift of life with this week. And then do it. Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you that you are indeed a God that loves us. You've given us this gift of life so that we can not only live with faith here on earth, but we can be confident of an eternal dwelling with you. And so, Father, as I pray, I ask that you would help every one of us. To all of us who have received that gift of life, may you convict us and challenge us and motivate us to share that gift at every opportunity that we have. Father, if there's any listening today that have not received that gift of life, that may be uncertain about this Jesus that we celebrate day in and day out, may your Spirit convict them. May they reach out, and may we be ready with that answer for the hope that lies within us. Father, today, may we leave this place ready to do life and ready to share life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.